Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and we are looking forward to having a Joy Clarissa Taylor this second hour. So I'm going to start out with setting the tone by passing the talking stick to our dear little Angel Sue and let her get us started. So, Angel Sue, pass the talking stick to you.
Aw, thank you from Sticky Louisiana, I greet you all in the light of the most radiant one. Stargate Roundtable time. So it is wonderful to claim yourself yet again as the divine child you are. Ever young, ever beautiful, ever perfect. And go right down into your heart center in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ. You may indeed want to just hold your fingertips lightly over your heart. Get that electrical connection going. Take a nice deep breath to cleanse everything. And then just settle in to the heart space. And with greetings to the master of the heart space right now, we are going immediately and being transported to a beautiful, wide lake. Blue, blue water. And the temperature is just perfect there. You will find that the pink sand around this lake just feels good. And you feel, perhaps, like taking off your shoes, digging your toes in, and walking over to one of many, many chairs that are there. Now, these chairs are created out of phantom crystals. So if you want a throne chair or a club chair or a recliner chair, it'll all work. Get comfortable. Phantom crystals magnify many, many, many times more the intent. And as we settle in, we're holding the intent that the violet flame and the loving energies of Saint Germain come and be with us. So the pink, the blue, the violet, the beautiful lake, all creates a situation where we can hold healing for ourselves, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And anyone else that you're aware of, or any other situation, or Mother Earth herself, Nasara, Nasera, the Reformation Act, all things, all beings, our faction three white knights and galactic forces of light, all people, and all beings known and unknown that are tied in with these issues that we're holding. Anything that you're aware of with the internet and the media, all of this. And so as we're comfy and feeling so beautiful in every cell and every atom, I wish you now to take a peace breath with me, where you simply take a breath in, and on the breath out, say the word peace, and think of a time when you felt so wonderful. Peace. And let that deep understanding that as the divine child of the universe that you are, When we incorporate the law of one for all things that are going on within ourselves and for the ones that we claim and the ones that we don't know, all these beings that are gathered here at the lakeside with us, we simply honor them. We say we are grateful for what lessons and challenges and opportunity to grow and understand what we truly want and what we truly do not desire any longer to pass according to the law of one. So that great reset button, we say we are all one. And when one is harmed, then all are harmed. When one is helped, then all are helped. And we'll call for the best healing as well. So in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, enjoying this beautiful heart space energy. And we ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen for us, for all beings, all kingdoms, all situations, to bring forth heaven now, 24/7, forevermore. And we give thanks that this is done, and we say this is good, and so be it. All men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And with that, Marita Robert, I pass the talking stick back. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for getting us started and the nice opening this evening. We'll pass the talking stick next to our dear little Rainbird and have her help us understand, well, what's going on in the Mayan calendar energies and what do we need to know about that this week?
Oh, well, thank you, Marita Robert. And, yeah, it's a good day in the neighborhood and surfing the Zavuya. We are surfing with the Skywalker, Ben. And that's about being clear and following through. It's pretty much the directive that way. And today, the 10, a sacred tone of 10, manifestation, Eek. And Eek is the wind. It's a visionary aspect, and it's about co-creation of heaven on earth. So with so much assistance here with Angel Sue bringing that into our prayer tonight, let's just continue on with co-creating heaven on earth this evening as we work with this energy. And it's also about truth in all matters and our remembering of our unity with spirit. And it has the gift of being that void of spirit and spirit working through you. So it's a time to let go of judgment of others and really enjoy this energy with spirit. And then tomorrow is 11 Akbal. And Akbal is the night. And 11 is that turn of disintegration. It's spectral, it's dissonance, it's change, it's letting go. Chaos and dissonance must be released so that there is a clearing of old patterns and an emerging wholeness. So we let go of what no longer serves us. Through the destruction, there is creation. So it's a good energy for that energy to work with that Akbal of that nighttime and that abundance and work in the under the cloak of darkness and let go of all that. Those blockages and resistances and let go of those attitudes and free yourself. So whatever it is you need to let go, it's the time to do it. And then on Saturday we have a portal day. It's the 12 con. That's my birth tone. 10, 12 con. And so it's a very powerful day. We're in the fourth unial, and that con is the number 4. and that 12 is 3/4. So we're just working with all kinds of complex stability and the unity of polarity, these energies. Khan is that seed energy. And so with that seed energy, we're in a healing aspect. We have this openness to life, self-determination, timing, and the gift of possibility and the potential of creation. It's a good seed. We open ourselves to the fertile richness that life offers. So this Khan energy with this 12 tone of complex stability. So Saturday will be a fun day. Lots going on. It's a portal day. It's extra dimensional. And so a good day on Saturday, and then Sunday we have a 13 Chuchang. So we're wrapping up this wave of Ben, the Skywalker wave, with this snake energy, which is transformation, as is 13. That sacred term 13 is also transformation, rising to the next level. So real good energy for Sunday. And then on Monday, we begin a new wave, the wave of Kini. And this is an opportunity to link with our past. It's that linker of worlds. So linking past and present into the now. However you want to play with Kini, it'll link those worlds. So we start that new wave on Monday. And then Tuesday, we have a two Monique. Monique is the healing hand or the healing deer energy. And that two energy, polarity, lunar, stability are the energies with that two. And then on Wednesday, a three Lamont. And Lamont's the Stargate in that three activation. So let's activate the Stargate on Wednesday. And Thursday, when we come back, there'll be another portal day. And it's another four. It's a four Malut, the moon. So we have that self-existing energy at the four with the moon. That moon breath is about healing and art. It's an artist aspect, and that the wise use of rational mind, telepathic communication, listening to spirit direction, and universal mind is your mind. So it's a good time to let go of insensitivity or self-doubt or attachment to omens and embrace the artist energies of the moon. On Thursday when we come back, and it also is a portal day, so that's that extra dimensionality with the energy. So that's great. And so that's the week in review and or to come, and it's a good one. And look, I like those synchronicities of the energies, even just with the opening meditation that Angel Sue did and the energy of the day. Everything is synchronizing, so it's a good way to do the beauty way. And I pass this talking stick right back to you, Maria.
Well, thank you. And do you have anything that you need to announce as far as your classes or anything that you want people to know about?
No, I am having a regular every second Sunday of the month call on Sunday the 14th. And that's just for review and just as a way of keeping things present for us. So that's
okay.
What's happening.
All right. Well, we thank you for getting us started here and helping us understand the energies of the Mayan calendar for the week. And if you have, if you think of anything else that you need to announce, then you can jump back in. So we'll check with Taran Rama here. And Rama, who did you talk to today?
We got to get this machine up by her. reporting station here. Greetings, everybody. And all you commanders and eagles and angels. I'm just saying everything is cracking like we've been noticing, as it should, and Mr. Perry's running for president. And Rachel is jumping up and down screaming, another first, everybody, Mr. Perry is running for president as a suspected criminal.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, oh, my.
And Chris Christie's running for president, and he is a suspected criminal as well.
And Ted Cruz is already a convicted criminal. Oh, my.
Yes. And the clowny clone car continues. The real stories going on. I'll just say that every day more and more craft are showing up, and we're all just kind of watching with our mouths hanging open, and at the same time, it is what it is. Everything is just unraveling so fast, and I got a wild hair up my nose today, and my ears are ringing right now, so this probably could be true. I called up Mark Levine. He's running as he wants to be the state delegate. I guess each state has a delegate that's official, and he wants to be the one for Virginia that gets sent. I guess they go to the Electoral College. I don't know how this procedure happens. But he's asking everyone to vote for him. But I called him up today. He's before.
Who's asking for him to be voted?
Mark Levine. Levine was the former intern for Barney Frank. And he's, you know, Mark Levine is following in the footsteps of our friend Lee Camp, only he's a little more subdued. And when he gets on his show, he does lay it out in lavender. He's gay, he's Jewish, and he grew up in the South, and he supports Dr. King. I mean, how about them apples?
That's pretty outrageous.
Yeah. And his parents were hippies that actually went down to the South when they were doing the civil rights march and getting people to vote, and they got put in jail with their VW microbus outside the jail, and the sheriff was one of those guys you see in the Burt Reynolds movies with the buzz haircut and the guns, and oh my God.
So how did his parents decide to stay in the South?
Because they had lots of land that somehow they inherited, and it's a wild story. Yet Mark Levine, his sister was killed by her husband, and she was shot. Mark has had to deal with that for the last 10 years, and he happened to be a member of the Scientology group. That's why it all ties in.
Mark?
Mark Levine's brother-in-law, as it were.
Aye.
Yeah. And he talks about this, and he had a whole week of people on who got psychically abused by the Scientology people, and they were telling their stories about what happens in there, and whatever's being said by Tom Cruise and John Travolta, whatever they're getting paid to lie, it's a real big deal, because this goes into a larger picture here where L. Ron Hubbard, along with Alan Parsons, Howard Hughes, Wernher von Braun, see how all the Nazis kind of tie in with this. The Rat Pack, JFK, Frank Sinatra. I put JFK Sr. in there because he was kind of playing with the Rat Pack, and Bob Hope was in there on the other end of the spectrum, and let's just say L. Ron Hubbard was pushing this idea about Lord Xenu and his planet these folks came from, which is part of the ancient wars that many planets and solar systems got destroyed in the Orion Wars, and I think some of these folks are part of that story from the Scientology story, and it's been skewed. Yet it's a multi-billion dollar industry in this country. But I called Mark Levine up and I said, what's the skinny story about Mr. Boner's pictures? And he said, very well could be. He could be the next one that falls, to make a long story short. And talk today also by text to Larry Curley, Jack the Alien Hunter, and Tom the Cat, and Mr. Poroshenko, the chocolate billionaire in Ukraine, is ramping up the false flag stories about war with Russia. It's not going to happen. This is all black ops.
Yeah, but they're saying it's imminent, and so that means that our black ops have set up both sides against the middle. And it's been royally funded by, I just hate to say it, but the father of Bo Biden, Joe Biden's been funding it. That's a very sad story.
Replace Joe Biden and this entire family in the circle of support.
It's Bo Biden you want to put in the circle at the focus, right?
Yes.
We don't know all the details, but I'm going to just tell you that Joe made some deals very dirt cheap along the way.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. And it doesn't look like there's hardly anybody that hasn't, except for those 64 good members of Congress. That's it.
Can I ask whether Bo Biden was in his father's path?
No, he was taken out. On purpose, because thank you, Kathy, for asking that question. Let me see if I got this here.
Where it makes everyone think that, since we know so much about his father's hidden past.
Yes, but
born into the family, born into the role.
Yeah, but no. Remember, on January 5th, 1973, Joe Biden's wife and his three children were in a terrible car crash. And she was taken out on purpose, too. But, that's the story goes back to family ties to things and money and more money problems. And Bo was 3 years old. And his sister died and his mother died. And his other brother lived, is still alive. I forgot the other brother's name, if you can remember. But he got involved with narcotics and drugs and rehabilitation and all kinds of stuff. It's interesting. But Bo, he did go to Iraq War. He's Iraq War vet. And he's a decorated one, and he served as a captain in Delaware Army National Guard and was awarded the Bronze Star for that service, too. And at the age of 37, he was elected Attorney General in the state of Delaware, one of the youngest people ever elected to that job. As his dad was elected Vice President, a lot of people expected Bo to run for his dad's vacated Senate seat. He obviously would have been a strong contender just on name recognition alone, considering Biden had held that seat for the previous 36 years. That's a long time. That means he's in all kinds of stuff from 36 years in politics, everybody. Not to mention, you know what we know, that he ordered 9/11. Yes, he did.
Yes.
And he got those orders from the Vatican representative, Archbishop Egan or Cardinal Egan in New York at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Anyway, in Rockefeller Center, right across the street. Instead of running for that seat, Beau Biden chose to stay on as Attorney General. He said he had a duty to fulfill as Attorney General and the immediate need to focus on a case of great consequence. And that was not just a political line. There was a case that was of vital importance to Delaware families. And Beau Biden prosecuted one of the worst pedophiles in American history. That was the case. The man had assaulted dozens of possibly hundreds of young kids. And Beau Biden, instead of running for his dad's seat, which he would have won in a walk, instead of doing that, he stayed on and saw that case through. As that state's attorney general, he also became an advocate for reforming gun laws in his state. That's something he talked about on this show, Rachel was saying. Yeah. He also came on this show to talk about his work against bad actor banks and their banksters and the mortgage industry that preyed on people as part of the financial meltdown. That's why they killed him.
Yeah.
And then here's a quote from October 27th, 2011, on the Rachel Meadows Show. She interviewed him, and he said, quote, deceiving consumers, and in this case, in other words, he was talking about these banksters and these fraudsters in the mortgage industry, the corporate fraudsters there. They said these guys have been deceiving the customers. And the consumers, and in this case, homeowners, about whether or not and who owns their note and their mortgage is the most basic consumer protection right they have, the people. And that's why I'm a prosecutor and a consumer protector. That's what I get paid to do. And that's why I am on this case. And then Rachel said, that's why I'm on this. She repeated that. Before cancer took him this weekend, Beau Biden was a leading candidate to become Delaware's next governor in 2016. And the thing that's weird about this is that they discovered his cancer in 2013, and he said all this 2 years earlier, so they had plenty of time to, you might say, cause some problems. Let me just finish this piece, and then we'll call on you, Big Will. Just hold on a second. Today, Delaware's current government said that Beau, had he made it to that election, he would have won the governor's race easily. Beau was first diagnosed with brain cancer in 2013. His family had announced on Saturday that he had died. That was last Saturday. And Beau Biden leaves behind a wife and two small kids. And I saw pictures of them. They're just like us, Kathy. I mean, they are really like us. I mean, you can see the vibration and everything. It's a whole nother story. Anyway, and he was 46 years old, and Saturday is the funeral, and Barack Obama's going to give the eulogy, so we'll see what happens. Does that answer your question, Kathy?
It does, and I appreciate getting that fuller insight into him, because I didn't feel any charge around him, and I didn't know who he was other than the son of the Joe Biden. So I did feel like I was very neutral about it. I didn't have any bad vibes about him, and so this clarifies for me why.
Exactly. That's why I wrote that, transcribed that out, because I said, oh, wow, that's really why they did it. And, I mean, Rama had already confirmed before I saw this. And when I saw this, I see that's what happened. So,
well, just to clarify for everybody, when they say take him out, it can be cancer, it can be a car accident, it can be a suicide that wasn't a suicide, it can be anything. They just chose this method.
Yes, they have a kind of a long-distance technology that can cause cancer from somebody. And they did that with Hugo Chavez most recently. I can remember that, too. And they actually finished off they didn't know, well, he's not gone yet, but they gave it to, what's his name in Cuba?
Fidel
Castro, yep.
Right.
They gave
him,
yep.
Yeah.
And they gave him many others in the past that have been a target. So it's all implosion from within, as it seems.
Yeah, and
I know.
When you see people go visit people like they're portending and they're part of the 13 family rigmarole and they're, you know, going and visiting people, I just going to say something very ugly about Hillary again, because when right before Nelson Mandela left the planet, Hillary went to visit him in his bed. And it was just a day later and he was gone. And I'm just going to say people like that can set the tone and send them on their way and send them more love too. We just have to love the perpetrators more.
Indeed. Oh. Big Will in at this moment?
Yes, let's do that.
Big Will.
Hello, Maria Roberts.
What questions do you have?
I do have a question for Tara and Rama. Lord Rama, as you well know, a day ago, I think it was either Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, I believe it was yesterday morning, the Sterling Group was raided, and the offices and the house was raided. This would have to do with the Iraqi dinars and other foreign currencies. What do you think about that story, Lord Rama?
There's many facets to it, and I think it's got to do with a larger scale of the financial crisis that we're in. That has to do with the algorithms to do the trading now on the markets. Humans don't do it anymore. Machines do it. And the ones that program the machines, let's say that they are programmed by the machine as well. That's what the technologies that...
No, wait a minute. Where was the silver stolen from again? Someplace where the silver markets were... U.S. silver was stolen? Is that what you said, Big Will?
No.
No. This had to do with foreign currency. The Iraqi dinars, the Vietnam dong, the Zimbabwe, et cetera. He was selling foreign currency from his, from his business. And the FBI raided the entire office and the home itself.
Yes, and he was a legal trader. He traded that. A lot of people bought from Sterling.
Exactly.
Oh, from Sterling.
And,
okay.
Right. And I want to know, did Lord Rama talk to the King of Swords to find out what the status is on that? And by the way, what is the status?
I'll just say that, you know, there are strange things going on across this country with the Gestapo. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, the Der Fuhrer is around, whether, you know, it is what it is. And right now, they're playing with all kinds of various ways that one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. And this is why we need Lady Master Nada and Divine Justice to step in.
And they have to rob Peter to pay Paul. That's really what's coming down.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice about it, but there are...
Not doing a good job because you're skirting the issue, but now it's coming out.
It's just, you know, we got... To use the word.
They're in the process of taking the whole thing down.
White-collar thugs who order their private armies to go around indiscriminately kicking people's in doors, whether they're white or black or blue, and they'll take whatever you want at the end of a gun.
Let's just say everything, all the stealing and all of the, you know, they're cannibalizing the markets now because they're selling debt.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing. I mean, we're so far in debt, it's not even a mentionable number. They're just giving you lies on the outside. And so the whole thing ends. And every program that ever was started in before, and that includes those, you know, those other ones too. You know, what was that, the Saint Germain Trust and the Queen of Sheba and Bathsheba Trust, all of those things are black ops. And now, you know, and the dinars, and I can't remember. There's just a list a mile long, and they're not the 78 programs. Every program.
Okay. Now, what's going to happen to those people who have purchased the Iraqi dinars and all their information are with those exchange programs like the Sterling Group? When you have people buying reserves and buying directly from that company, and they have all their information, what's going to happen to those people who purchase those dinars and all those other foreign currencies
okay.
from that particular organization?
That's a very good question. Now, let's get to the larger story, because that's Nasara.
Yes.
And that means that everybody goes to zero on any transaction that ever happened until Nasara is announced, because the entire global economy has already been zeroed out, and everything ever since 2008 in October is just been lies and fraud and based on sand. So all of those things go to zero, and then they start over. And so no matter what you put your money or your name into, it's not going to count at all ever again. And what happens now is what's been going on is this is the galactic operation. The galactics have been observing with the white knights on the ground every single soul at a soul vibration. And this is a new economy, and it's based on divine government. And that means Saint Germain. This country began when Saint Germain was meeting, along with Sananda Kumara, along with some of our founding fathers, with the Iroquois. And I asked Rama, did you ask anybody that question? This morning I woke up, and because we were thinking of playing Amy if we get, you know, a whole hour, because she talked about this land is not our land. The whole Western Hemisphere is not their land. It's actually the Aboriginal Moabite Nation, which includes one nation, which is the indigenous people of the entire globe. And so, you know, since this is not our land, and Rama, the question is, since it's not our land, what happens? And it's got to do with that, too, because this land has to be given back to the Native Americans, to the people that are the original Native Americans were black. And so it's really black people whose land it is when it comes down to it in the original state. But it's not just color anymore because, you know, when they talk about the farm claims, the Pickford case, which is the original case that goes back black to the Burgevein Fund, which goes back to Abraham Lincoln, that was different. It's even different than that because that only goes back to the Civil War. We have to go all the way back.
And this maybe goes all the way back to Sumer and Babylon and the story of Hammurabi.
So what does Nasara do? it levels the playing field. Everybody is at zero. Nobody has nothing. And the only thing that you get to keep accounting for is money that is in a credit union. If you have a little bit in a credit union, then you'll still have that. And you'll get along. If you don't have anything in a credit union, you have everything in a big bank, it's zero. That's it. And then it will turn around, of course. But, you know, that's why the arrests have to happen first. And there will be a simulcast full disclosure. We are also being told, stay here.
Okay.
We're also being told that Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to be instrumental in the full disclosure, along with the three presidents of the three countries.
Yes.
And this will end the games forever. There will not be one soul that has committed something that's not okay, that isn't held accountable. And that's at the soul level. That means every soul will get financially what they are in their soul. It is not on the record. It's not on that record. It's your soul record. And that's a really hard thing to comprehend, but that's what Nisara is.
We're in service to this entire universe of Nevadon. That's why we came here in loving presence, that as the whole of us make it, then we can do it. If a few of us make it, what if we got another set of cabals? That ain't going to fly.
Well, see, the other thing about this is that this is an important thing to know. That's why we've been, you know, there's a temporary halt to the galactic war that's been going
on. That's right.
There's a temporary halt. And they just said temporary, yet my take on it is they're going to take this temporary moment and they're going to change everything on the ground, and then it will become permanent. That means that people that are not necessarily criminals, or they've done something things, but they have the capacity to forgive, yet they're in a belief system that's so beyond of the ability for them to comprehend this earth. They need to go to different planets where they can continue their evolution it's not just that. It's without violating the prime directive, or, in other words, they're not going to be killed. They're just going to be moved over, and they won't even know the difference. They actually have portions of their memory erased that does not keep them tethered, so that they can continue with their free will choice and evolve at the state of evolution wherever that planet is that they are appropriately assigned to. When you think about that, then that's the same thing here. Everybody's going to be appropriately assigned the right funding that everybody needs to do what their mission is, to complete it, who are capable of it. And those who have gone into a place where they have done things that are more grievous than that, then various things that the Nisara dictates are talking about, they will either be sent out of the country, never be allowed to return, and then they're going to have, with no money and no job, and they'll be allowed to go wherever someone will take them and start over. And on a blanket basis across these are benevolent beings. They make sure that everyone from here on and forever will have enough money, time, love, air to breathe, and that means a roof over your head and what you need to live, not survive, to live. That is guaranteed around the planet. How they do it, they have worked on that for, you know, I've been doing this for 44 years, everybody. So don't think they didn't have enough time to figure this out. And so we're needing to go to another place of surrender, a much higher place of surrender. Okay? Is Kathy or Big Will, do you have questions? More? Anything?
Yes, I'm still here. My other question is this. What about
I can't hear you, Big Will. Big Will, I can't hear you. You've got to come closer to whatever you're talking through.
We've got a couple more minutes.
Can you hear me now?
Time for our guests. So
yeah, that's better. That's better, Big Will. We only got a few minutes now. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. What about the two trials that's going on, one in Boston and one in Colorado, concerning about the Black Ops program, especially for the Tenaya brothers?
They'll all be found out. And, you know, Tessarian was sentenced to death, but this is going to be 4 or 5 years in the future. But that's all going to be found out, that these were all Black Ops. And it will all be turned around.
Yeah,
and
the guy.
And, you know, millions of people will be released from prison cells that don't belong
there.
The
guy in Colorado that supposedly calls himself the Joker, you know, he didn't even do it. The Black Ops did it.
No, and that's a program talking in that cell room.
That's right.
Yeah,
Tara, you said something very key just a few minutes ago. You said that's 4 or 5 years in the future. What are you talking about?
I was talking about the Tessarian case, that they're going to appeal the case. That usually takes, through the way the old system has been running, 4 or 5 years before anything changes.
Okay, so that means that he will be his justice will be delayed for at least 4 to 5 years into the near future. Is that correct?
Well, no, because Nasara changes that too. It changes everything.
Yeah.
So I got to leave it at that because it's time for the guest. I hope that's good enough for you now, brother, sister. The old system is null and void.
Okay.
And
galactic divine government
is okay. Thank you, Big
Will. Okay, well, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Big Will. Namaste.
Okay. It is time for our guest, if you can get her on the line here now. Let's see if the station. Yes, I see Joy. Can you hear me, Joy?
Hello, it's Joy.
Oh, well, hello there.
Hi.
You all know how passionate I am about organic farming and organic food and having everything that we put in our bodies to be good. And Joy is. I found working with a company that you heard me talk a little, really, really briefly about. They've taken the word pure and the word premium and kind of scrunched it together, and we have the word purium. Now, one of the things that I want to mention right to begin with is that we have the ability for callers, to people to call in, and the number is 888-429-5471. And that's a free call for United States and Canada. One more time, 888-429-5471. And also on the phone lines, we'll have them open that so that you'll be able just to do a *6, and then you'll be able to ask a question if you'd like to do that as well. So, Joy, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing, and just kind of give us an overview of what you'd like to share with us tonight.
I am honored, and hello, everyone. I'm calling in from Mount Shasta, California, which is a beautiful, special, sacred place up here in Northern California. And I moved here because of my values, and I live my life based on my values, which is why I'm working with Purium as well. So I'm living in pure, beautiful, clean air and fresh water in a small community. And I really love health. I love wellness. I've been a wellness entrepreneur and a health practitioner since the age of 25, and I'm 45 now. So I guess that'd be 20 years, huh, Marietta?
Right.
20 years, and know that this is what my life is about. And this is a big reason that I came here to Earth, is to really assist people in waking up in a physical way, to really utilizing these bodies as they're intended to be, which is an opportunity for us to be radiant. And I know for myself that putting the most quality nutrition in my body is what helps myself and others get there. And so as a practitioner myself, I just, you know, did a lot of hands-on work with people, and I found that what was important was not just the session, but what people do day to day to day to day. It's the lifestyle we live. And that brought me along the path of seeking out the best high quality superfoods and nutrition that I could possibly find. So I've been specializing in herbalism and superfoods now for 15 years and bringing clean products to people. And that brought me to Purium.
And Joy, another people that we have, Robert and I worked with, were Barbara and Ron, and they're dearest friends, and with another company in the past, and they're the ones that shared with me, hey, you might want to know about this, because they are aware that, just like on this call, we're talking about spiritual growth and how to take care of ourselves and how to understand maybe what's happening here. So it's really interesting how our spiritual family and our physical family here, as we all find each other and share in the way that we can actually make more progress rather than trying to do it by ourselves, as we join hands with others that are going in the same direction. So that's what we try to do here. So we're happy to have your
I'm applauding. I'm applauding.
So how your attitude of why we're here and to serve and to help people understand that they can move along faster if they'll take care of themselves and do this kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about how did you even find this, or what made you get interested in it? Did we lose Joy?
It appears we did, but it looks like she's still there.
Can you hear me okay, Marietta?
Okay.
We can now, but we haven't for the last 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, I've been hearing you, and I've been smiling and shaking my head up and down with a big, big yes, because now is the time for all of us to come together and recognize that we really are one. And it's going to be about collaborating. It really is, as Marianne Williamson says, you know, it's a love revolution, and there's no more competition in this model. It's about coming together, and we see that in conscious leadership and conscious capitalism, which are also some of the things that I'm passionate about. But specifically to answer your question, yes, it was a resonance with the people, and specifically our founders of Purium, that attracted me to this company. I begin by saying I like to live by my values, and wellness being one of them, spirituality and community are others. And I found in the story and then in the presence of meeting David Sandoval, who started Purium, a genuine individual who's on a mission and has spent and dedicated his life to studying whole plants and plant-based nutrition and detoxification. He studied with Ann Wigmore, Bernard Jensen. These names are probably familiar for those of you who've been following raw foods.
Right,
right.
It's like everything that we've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. And that said something to me right away, just knowing who his mentors are. David Sandoval wrote the book Green Foods Bible. This is not a hobby. This is not a business. This is his life, and this is why he is here. And it's to awaken people to how micronutrition, lots of cellular satisfaction, can change consciousness and our physiology. And I remember I went down to meet him. The company is based in Long Beach, before I decided to truly align and represent this company, because I'm asked to represent a lot of companies. So I'm very, very careful and picky. I wanted to go down and meet the whole leadership team. And when I met David, he was talking and sharing his story. And he was talking about Ann Wigmore and how she said, you know, David, I'm going to make this simple for you and easy.
how people get healthy is they flood their body with nutrition. Number one, good nutrition, quality nutrition, a nutrition that the body can assimilate, which we know we can do in plants, not synthetic vitamins and minerals, but God was wise. We have plants for a reason. Our bodies know how to digest and assimilate them. So that's number one, flood your body with micronutrition. Number two, make sure that you eliminate toxins at the same rate or as you are accumulating toxins. So detoxification and cleansing is a key to health, and we cleanse all the time. One of my mentors is Donna Gates, the Body Ecology Diet, and she talks about how the body's constantly cleansing. It's why we sniffle. It's why we blow our nose. It's why we sweat. It's why we shed skin. And obviously there's, you know, elimination through bowel movements and the kidneys and the urinary tract. We're constantly cleansing, but if we don't keep up with today's toxins, we get backlogged. And most people are walking around with pretty backlogged toxins that are hanging out in fat cells, in the liver. And because of that, we feel sluggish. We might be more likely to get angry or agitated. We have electromagnetic stress. There's a lot of stressors on the body. So David Sandoval shared, you know, with me that this is the basis of Purium. Eat a lot of micronutrition and cleanse the body and take time outs. Take vacations from processed foods to really focus on that cleansing. So I lit up, and of course, having the foods in my body has really changed my life. And so as you can tell in my voice, I've become very, very passionate about what I'm doing.
Well, I think I'm hearing an awful echo. Do you hear that too, Joy?
You know, I do, and I'll go ahead and put a headset on and see if that helps at all. I had it on when you couldn't hear me.
No, I don't think that's going to help because I hear you, Marita.
Okay.
How about that? Check. Is that any better?
All right.
From this end?
Does that help? Well, it does seem like the echo's gone.
Yeah, it does help.
Oh, great. Okay. So, well, we've learned something. Okay. Well, let's see. Where was I going here? I'm worrying about the headset, and now I'm lost my train.
Well, I was definitely just saying how impressed I was with David Sandoval and the mission of Purium and just the philosophy of wellness that I'm happy to be passionately sharing with other people.
I think one of the things that caught my eye about a way of like finding a million moms that want to change the world as well. And this is not just for adults, it's for kids as well. And I think that's our children are so obese and have not, because of all the processed foods and the working moms and everything, they haven't learned basic nutrition. And so to find a million moms that'll teach their children and feed their children in another way was something that I thought was it was just another way of passing this along. And sometimes we just need an idea like that or a vehicle. We've been doing all of this for a long time, you and I both. And how do we find people and how do we help them understand? I guess that's one of the things that I'd like you to share is how you feel like, how do we get this information out? I mean, you know, we talk about we have to have good food, but how do we educate people or how do we get them started?
Well, it's a great question, and I want to answer it, and I want to talk about the Million Mom Movement too, if that's okay.
Sure.
The first thing that came to my mind to speak is how do we get it out? We become a living example.
And that's always where everything starts. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let there be health and let it begin with me. Let there be love. And love starts here right now within me, in my home, in my relationship. So I know that the more radiant I am, the more I care for myself, the more I bring green foods, which are light, bringing light into the body, the more people notice and the more they ask. And the people that are ready ask. And when the student's ready, the teacher comes. And so we all have that opportunity.
We lost you, Joy.
Uh-oh. That's the second time.
She's still on the board. Using the headset did get rid of the echo, so that we've learned. Still with us, okay.
And she hears us because she could hear us before, and we couldn't hear her.
Okay.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Now you hear, we couldn't hear you.
The station is saying your headset is overmodulated. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, either do I. I know my landline's good if you want to transfer it to that, if it's an option. And otherwise, I apologize. I really don't know why the technology's okay. Well, we're good for now. So be a living example of wellness and people begin to ask you. Be a living example of peace and we spread peace and it really always starts with each of us. So that was my response to how do we share? And we can talk more about that, but before I lose the train of thought, I'm really glad that you started talking about the Million Mom Movement because I think this is something very powerful about Purium is that they, like many corporations these days, many companies, they're choosing to align with a mission. And companies that are about purposeful success just get me excited. I'm an entrepreneurial trainer and a business development specialist, so I love business too. And this is something I admire about Purium is they've very distinctly chosen a mission. And it's to find 1,000 women leaders in 100 communities who want to help just 10 families eat cleaner and get greener. And Amy Veneer, who's also one of our co-founders, she is the heart of Purium. She is our chief operations officer. And I have a little quote here from her that I'll share. She says, it all began with me choosing that before we introduce any product, I ask one simple question. Is this something I would give to Madeline and Addison? And those are our two girls. And then she goes in and she says, that means absolutely no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no artificial sweeteners, no genetically modified ingredients, no irradiated ingredients. No binders, fillers, or synthetic ingredients of any kind. I don't want my girls consuming unhealthy food, and I don't want your kids to consume unhealthy foods either. So the priority of quality, pure, and premium is for each of us who have the benefit of these particular superfoods, and they are unique. They're not what I found on the grocery store shelf, that's for sure. They're definitely sourced in some pretty special places around the planet and here domestically in the U.S. So it's lucky for us, but it's also that we truly, as a community, and Purium truly as a company, wants to educate people and families on starting now in getting healthy. So how do we share? We get healthy and we tell a few people, you know, we get healthy and we introduce people to simple ideas about eating more wholesome foods. One of the benefits that can happen, the more healthy we eat, the healthier we want to eat. And so as we put and ingest pure foods, green foods, and vitamins and minerals, like trace vitamin and minerals into our bodies, we start craving more healthy food without having to try. I've seen, I've heard, I've been ecstatic to find out how many people are giving up addictions because they're flooding their body with nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
it's really fun to have this opportunity to educate people. That's, I mean, I'm an educator as well and have been very much involved in teaching people how to food and also producing it here. I think it's also remarkable that they source all their own food. They don't use somebody else to go find it, and they process it all themselves. And that, to have that kind of control over the whole process and the production is something that I think it's another way just to make sure that we have the purity and the premium that we really like.
You know, that's what I like about this this line and this whole concept of being to be a Purium member. You're part of the membership buying club, basically, and you get a 30% discount on the retail prices. So I love to be able to offer to people that kind of a discount and offer to people the insurance that they will be getting clean food. Everything you said, Mariette, is exactly bingo right on. I mean, the company, David and Amy, they started with just a few hand-selected organic farmers. And in fact, the camu grass and many of the cereal grasses, they're grown at 4,000 feet in Utah in volcanic ash soil, very mineral rich. They are outdoor grown, not in greenhouses, fed by glacier and spring water. So this is clean, well-selected sourced materials. And then, as you stated, Purium also has their own state-of-the-art manufacturing facility. So for 22 years, if you can imagine, a passionate man who cares about the best food and it's his life mission, you know that he's out there constantly looking for the best bee pollen, the best broccoli sprouts, the best spirulina, chlorella, all these different aspects that come together then are formulated into over 50 products for general wellness, for weight loss, for immune, anti-aging, fitness. It's pretty remarkable, actually. It's an art, and we benefit from that. I feel like it's insurance. You know, I know that David Sandoval has a very good reputation in the industry and that he's very particular. And so when I look at my superfood store of Purium, I know that any of the 50 products I choose, I trust the quality of them.
I think one of the most fascinating things was when I first introduced some of the shakes and things to people. They said, well, this tastes good. I mean, it's like they've been used to getting stuff that they thought, I mean, they were committed to do something good for their body, but it wasn't always flavorful or it wasn't always pleasant. And they said, well, this stuff really tastes good. And I thought, you know, that's how we get more people to do it too. Only those hardcore people that are just really committed would put up with some of the stuff that we've been doing in the past, and now we have something that's really good for us that tastes good. And so that's really, really, like you say, an art and unique in having both.
I'm curious if Power Shake is one of your favorite blends, or if you want to share what's one of your favorite green drinks.
Well, I do like that. I like the chai. That's one of the flavors. And, you know, the more important thing, I think, is that you can add anything to it. That, you know, I have some nieces and nephews that were really needing some very strong nutritional support. And she said, well, can I put a strawberry in this too? And, you know, the idea that yeah, you have something really, really good, and they eat all organic, but to find a way to really give some very, very good basic, just good nutrition support was what we were looking for. And that's one of the reasons that I found this, because she was going through some health challenges.
Well, and the beauty of treating the body with just good food is there is an innate intelligence in the body. So you mentioned health challenges. And, you know, a lot of times people ask, well, what do I do for X disease and Y disease and this symptom? And while that those are all valid questions and there are good answers, ultimately the body's always looking for balance. And doing green foods will always create balance in the body. I think we're having sound quality issues again.
I heard, is there someone trying to call in?
Oh, okay. I thought that was for me. Yeah, so tasting good is important. We all want pleasure. And speaking of taste, one of the elements of formulating products is to get a balance between the bitter, the sour, the sweet, and the salty. I mean, in Ayurvedic medicine, they talk about all these different flavors, different tastes and how they help balance the body. So the Power Shake, which and the Vanilla Chai Live Organic Vegan Energy, those are two of our best-selling powder shakes, and they're live, they're gently dehydrated, but they have a unique blend of flavors. And what I like about the Power Shake is there are some bitters in there, and bitter is specifically good for the liver. But there is the sweet in there with a little bit of apple and carrot and the rice protein, the rice bran protein. So we're getting that plus the greens, and people and kids want it. I have so many people that are now, I mean, every day I want my shake, and all, you know, myself included, I like to take the greens in the afternoon and the morning. My body craves them. I'm ready for them. They taste good to me.
Well, I think that's, people say, well, I can't afford to buy organic. And, you know, I have to say, well, you can't afford not to. I mean, I'd rather spend the money there than to spend it with doctors or drugs or whatever. I mean, everybody knows here that I'm not on that train. But anyway, the idea that it's still very reasonable compared to what anything else that you can get for the quality that you're getting. So, and the other thing you talked about, it's like anything else. If you belong to, if you want to shop at Sam's Club or you want to shop at Costco, you have to be a member of the club. Now, you don't have to do that, but if you want to get a discount, you just become a member. And one of the things that this company is, and I had mentioned real briefly a couple of weeks ago, that when you go to my website, you have the opportunity to get a $50 discount so that you can have $50 to begin your shopping journey. And you might talk a little bit about the philosophy or why did they decide to do that for people?
Well, I like that story too. Everything's so authentic. Everything is about new people being introduced to this mission. And when David Litt joined Purium as the vice president of marketing and sales, he came forth and he instigated a lot of good ideas, including this gift card marketing, gift card giving program. David Litt has a spa in Colorado, and one of the ways that he grew his wellness spa was by offering free experiences where people could come in and experience something there at the spa. And they enjoyed it so much, they came back for more and became paying customers. And any company, any person who has a product or a service who knows they're good at what they do and have something great to offer they're going to very confidently say, you betcha, let's give something away for free, because people will like it and they'll want more. And how generous is that? And so David Sandoval, Amy Veneer, they said, absolutely, we love this idea of a gift card system, where we talked about membership. When you become a member, you actually get 5 gift cards. So you get to give 5 people in your life the gift of health, and they can buy $50 or more, but it is literally $50 value. It's very generous, and it makes it so fun to share. And of course, once people feel the quality of the products and understand the philosophy of this GMO-free product line, usually people come back for more.
Let's just stop a moment and ask if there are any questions. Anybody on the team here have any questions? Or if you want to call in on 888-429-5471 or 530-439-9492. So, hi. Is there anybody on the team here?
Yeah, hello. This is Kathy sitting in the background. And, you know, Joy, when you first came online, your voice was clear. Your energy was pure. I just felt this wonderful, fresh beam of light. I mean, your food is coming through your voice. Your body is resonating at a high rate. I just wanted to say how much I'm enjoying that. And, of course, what you're sharing, because you are singing to the choir with this group of listeners. And we love this kind of conversation, because we're all getting educated all the time, and we just step up to the next level, whatever that may be, with each guest.
Oh, I so thank you for saying that. You know, I do a lot of speaking and training in business and wellness, and I just know that it's not only it's really very little the content. It's the energy, it's the transmission. You know, that's why people follow spiritual teachers and go to India and get satsang or seek out good friends and good company, because we know there's an energy exchange. I felt it in your voice too. And I do feel like my body's getting lighter since I've been doing these Purium products. It's actually been 1 year now since they've been in my body. And I started realizing, I said it before, but we are bringing light in our body. Yes. Because this is founded on green foods. And so photosynthesis, you know, that's what green foods do. They take in the solar energy, the sun. And the chlorophyll is like the blood of plants, and very similar to the blood of humans. And so when we juice the grasses and the greens and the vegetables, we get liquid light, and it is enlightening our bodies. It really, really is. Recently, I found something online, and it was a picture of a blade of grass cut and then looked at through a microscope, and guess what it looks exactly like? A smiling face. And so okay. I think about that picture a lot when I'm drinking my best of greens, which is a wonderful blend of land and sea vegetables, that I'm letting smiley faces into my body and my cells. Because the thing that's so important about being healthy, I mean, obviously it's great to be healthy because we feel good, but it's for those of us, and I think a lot of listeners are this way, we know we're on this planet for a bigger mission. And the healthier we are, the more we're a strong vehicle of love, the more we can fulfill whatever our unique gift mission is. So, you know, and it's different for everyone, but I think we all in our heart of hearts, there's something that really lights us up. There's a cause we believe in. There's people we care about. And so the healthier we are, the more energy we have, the more likely we're able to therefore make a difference. And I really do feel when the body is clean, it is more available and open for guidance. Because it's time, you know, it really is beyond time. I'm an optimist. My name is Joy. I've always seen the glass half full, and I'm pretty aware that there's a lot going down on this planet that is fear-based. So yeah, I want to be a part of the solution, and I fuel myself with the best foods that I possibly can.
Well, it sounds that way, and just happy to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for the comment, and I think it wasn't a question, it was a comment, so thanks.
Joy.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tara.
Hi, and Tara.
I'm an optimist, too. That's great. And I just have this question. I mean, at the moment, we're, you know, I'm not going to identify. I'm just going to say that sometimes we go a week or two without eating every month because there's just not enough for that to happen because the bills have to be paid first. So my question is in terms of, you know, living off of this, I'm just asking you in terms of relatively speaking, how much you spend a month. I mean, do you live off of it or do you eat other things?
Oh, I replace my breakfast with the greens, and I have been eating less since I started doing these products.
Mm-hmm.
Most people usually spend between $50 and $100 a month when they become members. But the interesting and fun thing that I also like about the company is, you know, if you do give out those gift cards and refer others to the program, the company sends people a referral fee, a commission, a gift, a monetary offering. So, and that's an interesting story in and of itself, but so many individuals who have been drawn to the Purium lifestyle, if you will, have decided to share it with others, and their products are being paid for, and in many cases, people are earning a nice extra residual income just by sharing from their heart, and I'm one of those people. Like I said, I do love sacred commerce, and I haven't found a better model than this out there. So that's it's actually my bank account has gone up since Purium, not down, that's for sure.
Okay, and you've been with this company for a year, did you say?
I started taking the products a year ago, and in July, because I wanted to have my own experience, but in July I really made the commitment to move forward with sharing it with others. Yeah, so it's been about 8 months.
Uh-huh. And so how are you doing? I mean, have you created a larger family? Did you brought many people in? How's that worked?
Well, it's been pretty miraculous. I give thanks every day to God because not only am I getting healthier, but I am getting wealthier, and I'm around more and more like-minded people that are doing the same. So I saw the possibility here, and I deeply believe in the products and the mission and the business model. So I started making a few phone calls to people I knew, and I just asked them if the right business came along, would now be a good time to look. I mean, we know a lot of health practitioners or massage therapists or a lot of friends who are needing a little more income. So I just offered. I asked the questions and offered, and many people were willing to try to take a look, to do their own due diligence, and it really has spread quite naturally. No advertising, simply friend to friend to friend in my case. So it's going fantastic. I love the people I'm meeting. I'm meeting friends of friends and friends. I've been exposed now to international connections, people I wouldn't have met otherwise. And I like the word you said. It is like a family. It's becoming very much like a family. And I also just like knowing that I'm helping people help people.
Yeah, and people are becoming healthier. That's an obvious result of your work, right?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, every day, thank you. A 14-year-old boy who had acne, after 2 weeks on the Camu blend, his acne has cleared up. He's just Thank you, thank you, thank you for introducing me to Purium. Another woman friend of mine going through menopause symptoms, really sensitive to certain foods, losing her hair, lack of energy, drinking way too much coffee, started drinking the power shake every day. Her hair is thick. She's down to half, maybe even a quarter now, consumption of her coffee. She's got a very balanced energy. She continues to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tons of people losing weight. A good friend of mine lost 30 pounds in 3 months. He's kept it off now. He's getting leaner and trimmer. I'm working with a fitness professional who's introducing it in his gym. And, I mean, I've got a Facebook pages full of people saying thank you. And look at the before and after picture. I lost 4 inches. I lost 15 pounds. Because we do have a 10-day weight loss program. So, it's so cool to actually be able to give people a clean path to follow in 10 days where they make a difference in their life. They take a vacation from processed foods. They lose fat, not muscle. And then they're ready and revved and their metabolism's changed and they get hooked on being healthy.
Now I have another question. Say you've lost a lot of, you know, muscle and all that thing because of, well, in my case, it's radiation poisoning. How can that company help?
Great question, because you're not alone. Who else out there has that issue? So one of the specialty products that we have is called Super Amino 23, and it is an amino acid blend that's in the physician's desk reference, and it is proprietary. It is a vegan pre-digested protein that helps the body build muscle. Within 23 minutes, the body assimilates this protein. It's got a 99% net nitrogen utilization rate. And most proteins are 20, 30%. So excellent. Goes right into your body and the muscles fire up. And it's as if they're working out. So it's an anabolic state that it encourages in the body. So people utilize this particular product, Super Amino, to help build muscle. And it's great if you take it before exercise, but you can actually just take it in general and it really starts conditioning the muscles again. It's pretty phenomenal. And there's a lot more research on that. Marietta, if they follow the link from your website, they could learn more about the Super Amino 23. But that would be something to help build muscle and also just to get a vegan protein source, you know, that's gentle on the body.
One of my good friends who has honeybees on my farm here, he taught biology and very advanced stuff in the university all of his life here. And he, when I mentioned the Super Aminos to him, he explained to me that most people don't even realize this, but in our intestinal tract, there, and I know we've talked about that it's absorbed quickly, but he explained to me that when it, that in the intestine, you have a way of it actually can go into the bloodstream. And so that is a way that you get it, you get the nourishment without the stress and strain on the body of having to digest things. And so he understood the technical part of it. I mean, I know the practical part and how it works, but he was able to actually, because this is what he taught in the university all of his life.
Wow, that's great. You know, I love that part too, because as I share products and travel doing wellness seminars, I meet so many intelligent people and, just keep accumulating more and more knowledge.
And Joy and Marita, if I could join that conversation, I studied in a medical school and stuff, and I also did in naturopathy, but it's like an osmosis process, and it's in the small intestines, and it goes straight into the blood, and then the nutrients from whatever went into the blood from whatever you consumed goes straight to your organs and your tissues and your bones and everywhere. It covers everything that way. But the thing is that, you know, you mentioned that this is a vegan amino acid protein, and that means there's no mucus, which means all dairy products, all of them, they form a mucus lining. And since that osmosis process is dependent on that being clean, clear, and criminal free of mucus, what ends up happening is that you don't get it to go through. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get nutrition. And see, the other thing is that when it's in this more refined form, which is, and I gotta repeat this because scientifically, and I studied this in medical school and alternative health schooling that I've had all my years, we are not omnivores. That is a myth. We are classified scientifically as herbivores. And this whole agribusiness has destroyed so many things on this planet. And so the goal of becoming vegan and to bring your children in as vegans from the very beginning is the spiritual goal. It's not just the physical goal. It's a spiritual goal because we are co-creator gods and goddesses, and we co-created with Mother and Father God the form that we chose to come into as a soul. And that's a very profound statement. I think I'll stop there, but that's what I have to say.
Everybody get your pencil and paper, so that you can write down how to find, how to go to the website, www.mypurium.com and then /Stargate. When you get there, in the right-hand corner, it'll say, enter your code here for your $50. And the code is Stargate. We tried to make it pretty simple for you. So www.mypurium.com/Stargate, Stargate. And then when you get to that website, up in the right-hand corner, when it asks you for your code word is Stargate. And you can go in there and browse around and learn and read. And then, Joy, you follow up here maybe give them some ideas about how you feel like it's best for them to explore.
Oh, I'd love to. And just letting people know that is a $50 redemption code, Stargate, will get you $50 of free product or $50 off any kind of a pack that you would be interested in. You know, I love the website. You know, there's definitely a fabulous 10-day transformation program that I encourage people to start with because it really resets our metabolism. If you want to lose weight, people are losing 5 to 15 pounds. If you want to cleanse your body, you will. It lightens us up. We've been saying that a lot, haven't we? So the 10-day transformation is a package with 5 unique products. It comes with a guide, and it really walks people through giving yourself that cleanse that we so need. And right now, June, it's a great, anytime's a good time to cleanse, but I think right before the summer is always a good time, season changes. So I would say take a look at the 10-day transformation. I love the name, and consider being a part of that to get started. But you can also explore the lifestyle page, which we'll talk more about the farm to family, the million mom movement. And then under shop, there's quite a few buttons for anti-aging, fitness, green foods. And if anyone is interested or intrigued by wealth creation, I would recommend you take a look at the opportunity and truly look at it and see if that's something that interests you. I get pretty excited about the idea of more conscious people having more income so that we can support the people we love and reach our highest potential and vote with our dollars, make good conscious choices as we purchase things. So the more we have that green energy of money energy, you know, the more able we are to really make a difference in our communities as well. But those would be my recommendations. For sure, that 10-day transformation is life-changing. I've done it 3 times, and I'm about to start my 4th on the 7th of June and just see what kind of another transformation it might allow me to take, not just physically, but definitely on a spiritual, emotional, and mental planes, that clarity of saying yes to change, you know, just being a part of transformation is very profound.
And there's the second 10-day transformation for those that are athletes. You might talk a little bit about that too.
Well, that is a great program for people who are working out, are athletes. We do have now a 10-day transformation that is a little less focused on the colon cleansing and a little more focused on keeping the body glandular system or hormonal system in check, in balance. So there's a couple different products in there, a little bit more protein. But both transformations have the same intent and philosophy and science behind them, which is fewer calories but more nutrition. So back to Ann Wigmore, you know, we're going full circle. Flood the body with micronutrition so the cells are satisfied, and that's what these green drinks do. And both these transformations, you take 3 green shakes a day. And then eat a little less, but when you do eat, there's a list of flex foods that are clean, that are organic, that are crunchy, that are vegetables and fruits primarily. And then we integrate those super aminos we talked about that help the body build muscle and lose fat. So the philosophy is the cells are satisfied, but the body does need extra calories, and it's going to go for that energy, not from the muscle, but from the fat cells. And that's why people keep the weight off. It's not a starvation diet. Your cells are satisfied, but your body is looking for energy and calories, and it goes after your fat cells. And gosh, you can't beat that. That's what makes it unique. I have not seen anything else like this. So I hope that was helpful.
Given the website, mypurium.com/Stargate. And if you wish to call, everybody has my phone number probably already, but it's 317-773-0061. And the email is stargatemarita@gmail.com. So you have, most everybody already knows, but if we have some new people on here, you might want to make a phone call or write me an email if you have some questions, and we'll make sure we get answers for you. And if I don't know the answer, we'll call Joy.
I'm happy to be of assistance.
All right.
Well, Joy, I wanted to tell you one more thing, Joy.
Yes.
This month of astrology for June is a watershed month for change. Mm. And so you doing your 10-day transformation process in this month, it's a big time deal in terms of the possibilities of change on every possible imaginable level, including global, from your own personal to the global situation. So I just wanted to tell you that. And Mercury goes direct on the 11th of June. So that'll even be more super.
Yeah, then we won't have an echo on the line.
Now, I'm not hearing it. You hearing an echo?
No, but we did earlier. And I'm going to blame it on Mercury. What the heck?
Right. It's amazing. You did learn that you having your headset on, I guess maybe having it away from your body reverberated. I don't know what the technical thing is, but at least both of us wearing our mics seemed to make it better. So, well, it's about time to wrap up. If there's any other quick questions, we'll take those. And then, Joy, I'll let you finish with what you would like to hear.
And Joy, I just want to thank you. That was just the most awesome presentation. You are a star in my book.
Well, this is the Stargate. It's only stars here.
Yeah, you got that right.
That was very clever. Just a joy to have you. Oh, listen to that. Just a joy to have you.
Well, and were there any other questions, or should I wrap it up?
Let's just wrap up for the evening here, and we'll move on then.
Well, my first sincere offering is that anyone listening to this call live or recorded is inspired. Whether or not you choose Purium, I really hope and pray for you that you choose love and you choose greens in whatever form you can have them, because we do know that that is, you know, a key to feeling better and giving back to this planet. And then I'll just close by sharing a little something on the Purium website that I really like. And it is what Purium believes. Purium believes, we believe the human body is a miracle. We believe that being dynamic, vibrant, sexy, fit, energetic, and happy is really cool. Nature provides everything our bodies need. Vegetables and fruits are nature's fast foods. And we believe that green is beautiful, and so is red, blue, and purple. So I believe that you are beautiful, and I really believe that this planet is going through a love revolution and a food revolution, and I congratulate everyone for being a part of that. So thank you, Marietta.
Well, we are joyful to have had you here. You've really created a lot of joy for many people, and we look forward to talking with you again, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in August.
I look forward to that too.
So we only have had the phone conversations, that we do plan to get together in August. So, well, thank you everyone for allowing us to share this, and we'll take a musical break, and then we'll come back, and Tara and Rama will have a presentation in the last hour here. So thank you, Joy, and everyone else, and Station BBS, give us our musical break, and we'll see you back in just a few moments. We are happy to have you, and we're going to let Tara and Lana take over this hour and do whatever they wish to.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever direction you choose to go.
I love the way you trust us, Sister Rita Roberts.
Okay.
Thank you, not everyone. And we're going to start real quick. There's plenty of other news, but it's all in its developmental stage. I'm going to say one thing really briefly. We're in the process of bringing galactic divine intervention into full play in front of the world. And a full disclosure is not far away. And there's many things going on the 3D level. And remember to focus. It was just like we said this to Big Will and for everybody, that all the things that we've been thinking of and trying to plan on how to get around this monstrosity we got here on this planet right now called inequality is really the biggest story, which has got to do with the way the world has been run by an interloping group of people that never got invited to be here. This is for a divinely human experiment called the Grand Leela, and nobody that was a reptile was invited. They needed to ask if they wanted to come here, and that was not in their blood, you might say. So send them more love. That's what I have to say. And we're going to play something about Canada today from Amy Goodman's show yesterday, and then we'll have a little time for Nassim after that. So we're going to get started right now, and you'll get to hear the whole thing. Here we go. Change the furniture.
Now.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Juan Gonzalez. Welcome to all of our listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Canada has concluded that country's decades-long policy of forcibly removing Indigenous children from their families and placing them in state-funded residential Christian schools amounted to, quote, cultural genocide. After a six-year investigation, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report concluded, quote, the Canadian government pursued this policy of cultural genocide because it wished to divest itself of its legal and financial obligations to Aboriginal people and gain control over their lands and resources. If every Aboriginal person had been absorbed into the body politic, there would be no reserves, no treaties, and no Aboriginal rights.
The first schools opened in 1883. The last one closed in 1998. During that time, over 150,000 Indigenous children were sent away to rid them of their native cultures and languages and integrate them into mainstream Canadian society. Many students recall being beaten for speaking their native languages and losing touch with their parents and customs. The report also documents widespread physical, cultural, and sexual abuse at the schools. It was based in part on testimony from 7,000 survivors. This is Justice Murray Sinclair, chair of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
The residential school experience is clearly one of the darkest, most troubling chapters in our collective history. In the period from Confederation until the decision to close residential schools was taken in this country in 1969, Canada clearly participated in a period of cultural genocide. We heard of the effects of over 100 years of mistreatment of more than 150,000 First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children placed in these schools. Removed from their families and home communities, seven generations of Aboriginal children were denied their identity. We heard how, separated from their language, their culture, their spiritual traditions, and their collective history, children became unable to answer questions as simple as, where do I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? And who am I?
Justice Murray Sinclair, chair of Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, also said he suspects as many as 7,500 Indigenous children died at the residential schools, but the exact figure may never be known. The Canadian government stopped recording the deaths in 1920 after the chief medical officer at Indian Affairs suggested children in the schools were dying at an alarming rate.
To talk more about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's findings, we go to Winnipeg, Manitoba, in Canada, to talk to Pamela Pometer, associate professor and chair in Indigenous governance at Ryerson University. She's a Mi'kmaq lawyer and Idle No More activist and author of Beyond Blood, Rethinking Indigenous Identity and Belonging. Welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you start, Pamela, by talking, by responding to the commission's report? Were you surprised by what they found?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, this is something that Indigenous peoples have known since the inception of residential schools. The federal government wasn't surprised. The RCMP, churches, everybody in a position of power has long known about the crimes and abuses that happened at residential schools. We're quite thankful for the bravery of the survivors to come forward and make sure that it was documented. This is a critical piece, and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission did an incredible job in the face of many barriers put forward by the federal government to make sure that their stories were heard and that as much documented evidence was contained in the report. And I think that's incredibly important for Canadians because we know what happened to us, but Canadians don't know what happened and they don't understand the culpability of the federal government and churches in this regard.
And the issue of the conclusion of cultural genocide, do you have any concerns or qualms about that specifically?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the Truth and Reconciliation Commission went about as far as they felt comfortable in naming it cultural genocide. It's just genocide through and through. If you look at the UN definition on genocide, it meets every single one of those factors, and there's nothing cultural about it. They weren't killing us because of our culture. They were killing us because we were Indians, and we stood in the way of accessing all of the lands and resources and settlement in this country. Think about it. All of the overrepresentation in this country in prisons, some prisons have as high as 60% Indigenous peoples. That's not because of our culture. It's because we're Indians and we have rights and Aboriginal rights that still stand in the way of unfettered resource development. Why are our kids overrepresented in child and family services to the tune of 30 to 40,000 in Canada? Here in Manitoba, 90% of all kids in care are Indigenous. It's not because of their culture, it's because of who they are as Indians and that we're the Indigenous peoples here and we have rights to protect this territory. And we're essentially the last stand against complete unfettered development here in this country. And so if you look at it across the board, while they may have characterized it in terms of, assimilating culture, you wouldn't have a death rate of upwards of 40% in some of those schools if it was just about culture. It would have been more aggressive education tactics both in those schools and in the communities. If you have a death rate that's higher than those who enlisted in World War II, this wasn't about culture.
I want to turn to survivor testimony recorded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Canada. This is William Nelson describing his experience being sent to a residential school.
We arrived to the dorm in the middle of the night. The supervisor for the junior boys showed me my bed. The rows of beds where other boys were asleep. I thought they were asleep. But once the supervisor closed the door, all the heads popped up. And the boys all stood around to look at the new kid. That was me. Around the second night or so, the supervisor opened the dorm door, which he caught me sitting up in bed. He says, we have rules here. If you're caught sitting up in bed, you should be sleeping. Because I was sitting up, I had to be punished. The punishment was getting strapped and whipped with a belt. I believe it was about 7 times that I was whipped in the back.
That's William Nelson. Another survivor of the residential schools named Marianne Sam of Vancouver Island also spoke at the Truth and Reconciliation Sharing Circle.
From my experience of why I was at the residential school, my sisters and I were led to believe that our mother was killed in a car accident. But that was not true. She was in the accident, but the ministry and families had taken us. Hid me and my sisters for years when my mom was old enough to care for us again. She searched and searched for us. We were once again reunited. She returned us home. She was a single parent. And again, it was her struggle that provided us strength to love and respect others. It was then when we returned home that we were brought to the day school again with priests and nuns. So we thought this was the way of life. But we enjoyed where we were back with our community, family and children that we knew. But the experience here was still another not again. To use our language, not to use our cultural ways, as that was not for who we were. In my community, it was our mothers who fought for our school and wanted back to teach our language, our culture.
That's Marianne Sam of Vancouver Island speaking at the Truth and Reconciliation Sharing Circle. Professor Palmiter, she says, my sisters and I were led to believe our mother was killed in a car accident, but that wasn't true. And respond to what both William and she were saying.
Well, I mean, these stories are quite common, and stories even worse than this are quite common. The amount of intentional lying and deception and keeping parents away from children. So it wasn't like parents were just enrolling these children, they were going to school, and there were some isolated incidents of bad things happening. We're talking about whole-scale theft of children from communities, in large part against the will of the parents, and parents were kept away from those schools, and even children who ran away were brought back oftentimes by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police despite the allegations of what was happening in those schools. And that's the real crime here, because whether or not people agree that this is genocide, it was always against the law to kidnap children, to assault them with deadly weapons, to rape, torture them, use electric chairs on them, to deny them food and water, to beat them to such an extent that some died, to starve them until some died. All of these things were crimes then, just as it is now. And nobody was prosecuted, despite the fact that the RCMP knew, the federal government knew, and the churches knew exactly what was happening. And I think really illustrative of that are the government's own documents. You had doctors coming to the federal government saying, you have extremely high death rates in these schools. And the federal government's response was, well, that doesn't justify a change in our policy, because the overall objective is, quote unquote, the final solution. And we've heard those words before. So we know exactly what the intention was. And I know there was a focus on culture and that people were abused and beaten for speaking their language and culture, and they were clearly denied their identity. But for many of these children, upwards of 40%, they were denied their right to live. And that goes far beyond culture. Think about at the same time the forced sterilizations that were happening against Indigenous women and little girls all across the country. Sterilization has nothing to do with one's culture, but in essence, the one's right to continue on in their cultural group or nation-based group. The objective was to get rid of Indians in whatever way possible. Culture was one aspect of it, but also denying them the right to live or to procreate was an essential part of this. And I think what's really important for people around the world to understand is that residential schools didn't stand in isolation. It was in addition to the forced sterilizations, the scalping bounties, all of the overrepresenting our people in prison, stealing them and putting them in child and family services, the thousands of murdered and missing Indigenous women in this country that go unresolved and no steps taken to prevent these actions, and that this is ongoing. It would be a terrible mistake to historicize this and say, well, this happened a long time ago. We now know what happened. Let's apologize and move on. It is ongoing. When they closed residential schools, their very next policy was known as the 60s scoop, where they actually took more children from First Nations than during the residential school period, which is why we have now 30 to 40% of our children in care. They're still taking our children. They're still trying to raise them in non-Indigenous families. And many of these children end up as murdered or missing Indigenous women, or they end up in the prison system. And that's this legacy of the residential schools is ongoing. It's very much in the present. You can track the survivors of residential schools to kids in care, to people in prison, to those who are homeless, to those who have poor health. All of these things are very much in the present. So we have to take action now to address the ongoing problems that were started by the residential school and have never stopped and continue to this day in just different terminology and in different policies.
And Pamela Pomeroy, I wanted to ask about the role of the churches in this. It wasn't just the government. Which churches, what specifically did they do, and what has been their admission of their own admission of their culpability in this cultural genocide or this general genocide, as you say?
Well, I think it's varied. So all of the churches that were here were involved in this. It looks like the majority of these schools were run by the Catholic Church. I understand that there, at a local level, there has been difficulty in obtaining records. Often churches didn't make note of the children who died in those schools. So we don't even have a complete record of those, how many that did die. We know for sure it's at least 6,000 to 7,000, but it could be even higher. Many churches had unmarked graves, and we're in a situation now where many residential school survivors and First Nations are demanding that churches come forward and give us all of their documentation at every level, no matter where the documents have been kept, about who knew what and when, who was involved, and primarily to bring closure for many of these families, to know where their child last spent their days, where their remains could possibly be. And all of that information has not been forthcoming from the churches, especially at an administrative or national or international level. At the local level, however, you do see local churches trying to take steps to make amends, to try to have a better relationship with Indigenous peoples and trying to work together to support different initiatives on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So we have Cree people who are walking across the country for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission events, and their walk was supported by some of the churches and things like that. But I think at an institutional level, the churches have a lot more work to do, and they need to make some very specific and targeted apologies and make amends. Because as we know, apology means nothing unless you're going to try to make amends to right the wrongs that happened in the past. And so they have a clear responsibility, in addition to the federal government, to support things like Indigenous languages and cultures and education, and trying to find a way to both identify these children and return them to their families and communities. That's incredibly important.
Last year, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police revealed at least 1,181 Native women and girls were killed or went missing between 1980 and 2012. The new Truth and Reconciliation Commission report made a link between the residential schools with the missing and murdered women. The report states, quote, "The available information suggests a devastating link between the large numbers of murdered and missing Aboriginal women and the many harmful background factors in their lives. The complex interplay of factors, many of which are part of the legacy of residential schools, needs to be examined, as does the lack of success of police forces in solving these crimes against Aboriginal women," unquote. Pamela Pomeroy, can you talk about what is being planned now? I mean, that's a government commission. What is the follow-up at this point?
Well, there is no follow-up, and probably one of the most insulting, shameful things that happened yesterday was when the Truth and Reconciliation Commissioner, Justice Murray Sinclair, got up and said there's a clear link between what happened in residential schools and the vulnerability of our Indigenous women and girls that go murdered and missing, and that he recommended and supported all of the calls for a national inquiry. Everyone stood up, gave him a standing ovation, except the Minister of Indian Affairs. And that's extremely significant. If the Minister of Indian Affairs can't be supportive of finding justice for Indigenous women and girls who go murdered and missing at an extremely alarming rate. Here in Manitoba, it's 50%. They only make up 4% of the population, but 50% of all Indigenous women and of all women and girls that go murdered or missing are Indigenous. And so we have some significant issues across the country. It, again, it's not just about our culture. Our very lives are at stake. And so the Minister of Indian Affairs didn't clap. He didn't give a standing ovation. And this is in line with what the Prime Minister has said. He's said time and time again, an inquiry into why Indigenous women go murdered and missing is not high on our radar. He doesn't consider it to be an issue. And he's really out of touch with all of the research. There's been at least 50 reports with over 700 recommendations on how to deal with this. And the United Nations, various human rights bodies, including CEDAW, have come out with reports which have researched and studied this and said, this is a problem. The police are not taking action. There's lots of socioeconomic conditions of poverty that make our Indigenous women and girls vulnerable, some stemming from residential schools, some stemming from Canada's very purposeful, targeted, racist and discriminatory laws and policies, and that a national inquiry is recommended to get at the root of it so that we can come up with solutions to prevent it from happening to begin with. It's no good to have a police force who's now willing to take action to investigate murders. We want to stop those from happening in the beginning. And I think it's critical that this Truth and Reconciliation Report tied all of these things together, that residential schools didn't just happen as a moment in history. It's ongoing legacy. Well, and that's also in line with some of the other recommendations around the overrepresentation of our people in prisons. Justice Murray Sinclair recommended that action be taken right away to look at all of the criminalization data and take action to stop this from happening. The same with child and family services. The same with all of the socioeconomic problems that make our people vulnerable to begin with.
Pamela Palmiter, we want to thank you very much for being with us. Associate Professor and Chair in Indigenous Governance at Ryerson University. She's a Mi'kmaq lawyer, an Idle No More activist, and author of Beyond Blood, Rethinking Indigenous Identity and Belonging. Thanks so much for joining us from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Okay, everybody. Okay, that being said, there's another issue going on with Apache Holy Land. It's called Selling Off Apache Holy Land. And about an hour east of Phoenix, near a mining town called Superior, men, women, and children of the San Carlos Apache tribe have been camped out at a place called Oak Flat for more than 3 months, protesting the latest assault on their culture. 300 people, mostly Apache, marched 44 miles from tribal headquarters to begin this occupation on February 9th. The campground lies at the core of an ancient Apache holy place where coming-of-age ceremonies, especially for girls, have been performed for many generations, along with traditional acorn gatherings. It belongs to the public under the multiple-use mandate of the Forest Service and has had special protection since 1955, as President Dwight D. Eisenhower decreed the area closed to mining, while like cattle grazing, is otherwise common in national forests because of its cultural and natural value. President Richard Nixon's Interior Department in 1971 renewed this ban. Despite this protection, in December 2014, Congress promised to hand the title for Oak Flat over to a private Australian-British mining concern. A fine print rider trading away the Indian Holy Land was added at the last minute to the must-pass, you're going to recognize this, everybody, military spending bill. The National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA. By doing this, Congress has handed over a sacred Native American site to a foreign-owned company for what may be the first time in our nation's history. The Apache are occupying Oak Flat to protest this action. To them, a sacrilegious and craven sell-off of a place where Apaches go to pray. In the words of the San Carlos Apache Tribal Chairman, Terry Rambler, the site will doubtless be destroyed for any purpose other than mining. Resolution Copper Mining will hollow out a vast chamber that as it caves in, will leave a 2 mile wide, 1,000 foot deep pit. The company itself has likened the result of its planning, has likened the result of its planned mining at Oak Flat to that of a nearby meteor crater. The land grab was sneakily, anti-democratically even, by congressional standards, stolen. For more than a decade, the parcel containing Oak Flat has been coveted by Rio Tinto, Resolution's parent company, which already mines on its own private land in the surrounding area for the high-value ores beneath it. The swap, which will trade 5,300 acres of private parcels owned by the company to the Forest Service and give 2,400 acres, including Oak Flat, to Resolution, so that it can mine the land without oversight. Without oversight, had been attempted multiple times by Arizona members of the Congress on behalf of the company. Among those involved was Rick Renzi, a former Republican representative who was sent to federal prison in February for 3 years for corruption related to earlier versions of the land transfer deal. It always failed in Congress because of lack of support, yet this time was different. This time the giveaway language was slipped onto the defense bill by Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake of Arizona at the 11th hour. The tactic was successful only because, like most last-minute riders, it bypassed public scrutiny. It is worth noting that Rio Tinto affiliates have been McCain campaign contributors, and that Mr. Flake, before he made it to Congress, was a proud paid lobbyist for Rio Tinto Rossing Uranium, a huge uranium mine in Namibia, Africa. Mr. McCain and others assert that the mining project will be a boost to the local economy, though it's unclear how many of the 14,000 promised jobs would be local. A Superior Area miners group, in fact, opposes the swap on the basis that it won't help the local people or the economy. Rio Tinto, incidentally, has been called out in the past for many environmental devastations. Why is this place sacred? Said Wenzler Nossi Sr., a former chair of the San Carlos Apache, in a recent interview with Cronkite News. No difference to Mount Sinai. How the Holy Spirit came to be, as you do not want to take his word for it, the archaeological record at Oak Flat contains abundant evidence that the Apache have been here since well before recorded history, thousands and thousands of years ago. Yeah. According to congressional testimony by the Society for American Archaeology. Okay, I want to, let's see, is there a lot? There's not much more.
The Apache came from Mars, just like many other cultures.
Yeah, just like Viracocha's people and the Peruvian Native Americans, South Americans.
And the Apache call Mars Barsoom.
Oh. Okay, as Oak Flat were a Christian holy site, or for that matter, a Jewish or a Muslim site, or no senator who wished to remain in office would dare sneak a backdoor deal for its destruction into a spending bill, no matter what mining company profits or jobs might result. Yet this is Indian religion. Clearly, the Arizona congressional delegation is not afraid of a couple of million conquered natives. Okay, turn the page. That's almost done. The truth is that for Mr. McCain, Mr. Flake, and others who would allow this precious public land to be destroyed, it's not only the Indians who are invisible. The rest of us are also ghosts, remnants of a quaint idea of democracy. Oak Flat may still be saved, albeit with difficulty, since the bill's language stipulates quite simply that 60 days after the federal environmental impact statement is complete, the land will belong to Resolution. In other words, that the swap will occur no matter what the environmental study says. Yet
like all laws and pieces of laws, it can be reversed by new legislative language. Yeah. The deal is an impressive new low in congressional corruption, unworthy of our country's ideals, no matter what side of the aisle you are on. It is exactly the kind of cynical maneuvering that has taught the electorate to disrespect politicians, a disdain for government that hurts everyone. As ever, there is a time for Congress to prove its moral mettle to the public. This is that time. The rider should be repealed. And this is by Lydia Millett, as an author most recently of the novel Mermaids in Paradise, and a contributing opinion writer. Okay, that's what I'm saying is every single thing that they are doing now is being scrutinized and being delivered to the people, and this time for action, everyone. And this is a very pivotal month astrologically, a watershed month. So let's put that in the circle and support. And let's do on a little lighter note. We won't get finished, but we'll try. We'll do it, maybe go a little past 10. It's called The Energy of the Future, and it's this last section is about 36 minutes. Okay, let's go there. Let's do it. Oh, well, then look at where it's at.
Yeah.
113. Okay.
I mean, I'm a little...
Just restart it and then get up to 113.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll try. Lucine Harlin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold on, everybody. We're going to go to the place. 113. There you go. Okay.
Inside it, they're even smaller, called quarks. And now the quarks are charged, so they now needed an even stronger force to squish their quarks into the middle. Now that's embarrassing. You can't call it the strong, strong force. So they got artistic. They called it the collar force. And so the collar force was deemed to be infinitely strong at the quarks level. Like that, you know, if they found anything smaller, they had infinitely strong force to deal with it. And that this strong, infinitely strong collar force was mediating force to the proton level using gluon particle. Gluon. That's when I ask, who's making the glue? Because nowhere in this whole scheme did they say where the energy comes from to produce an infinitely strong force. But if you have an infinitely strong force confining to the center of a particle, what do you have? A black hole. Right? So I said, okay, since LaTeX QCD doesn't give, you know, computational results and no analytical results, which is the way they deal with the scheme of the strong force, if you ask a physicist how strong is the strong force, they'll say, we can give you a ratio. If gravity is 1, then the strong force is, guess what, 38 to 39 times stronger. Exactly how much my proton is off by. Right? So I said, well, you know, in my case, I'm accounting for the energy necessary to confine, to produce the gravitational force that confines the atom. You guys don't. So obviously you guys are off by 38 orders of magnitude. It's not me, it's you. However, I knew that I wasn't gonna, you know, go far. So I figured I'd give them a scaling law to see if I'm right or they're right. So I made a scale between the radius of an object and its mass, the radius and its mass. And I put the universe and I put everything I could throw in there, like local clusters, galactic centers, galaxies, whole galaxies, galactic cores, pulsars, the whole thing, the sun. I mean, I threw the Earth in there. I mean, the whole thing to get like as accurate of a trend as possible. And then I put in the Schwarzschild proton mass. And it fell very nicely along that line with all the other objects. And then I put the standard proton mass. And that was the only data point off the chart, literally. And so that confirmed in some ways that obviously the Schwarzschild proton is realistic relative to all the rest of the universe, and that's straight data. It's not out of equations. So, but when I did this and I published it, I knew there was going to be some controversy about it. Why? Because the universe here is the universal mass is calculated by adding all the standard protons mass. So that mass is the result of all the standard protons mass added together. If that was the correct mass, then the universal mass would be off the chart and all the data points on it would be off the trend. You all following this? So that was a problem. And, you know, I knew that was a problem. When I published the Schwarzschild proton paper, I didn't claim that it was complete. It was just an impetus in one direction. What was really wonderful, however, is that when I looked at the black hole protons, if I orbit them around each other, I got many of the data you get from the standard model. Like I got the correct gamma ray emission, I got the correct interaction time, I got the correct magnetic moment, I got correct. So I knew it was correct, but I had to solve this. How is it that it can express two different masses? And this is what I just solved. This is what I just published. And the result is like way beyond my greatest expectations. So I'm going to show you what I did. The first thing that happened, it was middle of last year. And I said, okay, well, we have a little proton that has 10 to the 55th grams in it, the mass of the universe in it. And you know, it may be, if this is true, if it's the true holographic representation of all the other protons in the universe, this may be the first time we get an exact number for the mass of the universe. And I knew there was this big problem in physics. It's a problem that's part of the vacuum catastrophe. That's 102 orders of magnitude problem. 122 orders of magnitude problem. And that's because, remember I was saying that that the universe has this dark energy in it that's inflating the universe, the vacuum has this energy in it at the cosmological level. When the physicists calculated the density of that energy at the cosmological level, they found that it was 10 to the minus 29 grams per centimeter cube. All right? So it's a really, really teeny amount of energy per 30 minutes. Okay. And at the quantum level, it's 10 to the 93. So it's a huge difference. If the vacuum has 10 to the 93 grams per centimeter cube at the quantum level, how is it that we're measuring 10 to the minus 29 grams at the cosmological level? And this 122 orders of magnitude different, that's huge. That is currently the largest problem in physics ever encountered. It's commonly referred as the worst prediction physics has ever done. Okay? And if you look up on Wikipedia, for instance, problems in physics, I think it's the first, you know, the vacuum catastrophe, 122 orders of magnitude problem. Well, I solved that in an instant. Sorry, but I did. About a year ago, when I realized, wait, I've got a 10 to the 55th gram proton that is a result of the 10 to the 93 grams per centimeter cube density of the vacuum, okay? And so per proton volume, right? And what happens if I grow that thing to the size of the universe? Obviously, the density is going to drop. So I grew it to the size of the universe, and my result was 10 to the 30th gram, minus 30th gram per centimeter cube, really close to the measured cosmological constant. So I was like, wow, it actually works. And you know, in physics, this would be close enough that you could say, well, I'm going to adjust the size of the universe till I get the right number for the measured value. And that's going to give me a prediction for the size of the universe, right? Which we don't know. There's a wobble between, it's between 10 to the minus, 10 to the 27 to 10 to the 29. So 10 to the 28 is usually the value that's given. But it's rough. Obviously, because it's cosmological. So I said, well, how can I get a real number? Because I could have adjusted it, but I didn't want to cherry pick. I had been given hell for the last 2 years on the internet, you know, by all my critics saying, oh, he's cherry picking. So in this paper, I was like, no cherry picking. There will be no cherry picking. I get cherries, and so on. So I said, okay, well, I know the mass of the universe, since this should be accurate. If it's accurate, if I do the Schwarzschild condition of that mass, right? Remember that equation? If I solve that equation, it'll give me a radius for the black hole universe. Let's see if I do the same thing with that radius. This would be the first time we get an exact radius for the universe. So I did that. And when I grew it, boom, 10 to the minus 29 grams per centimeter cube. I was like, okay, this works. This works. And again, if this is correct, this is the first time we know the exact mass and the exact size of our universe. So I said, wow, you know, this is showing so much evidence of the holographic principle of this concept that from studying the proton, I can actually understand the whole universe. I should, like, look at the holographic principle and apply it. The holographic principle in physics is utilized to describe the entropy of black holes. That would be the amount of thermodynamics that come off a black hole. You could think of it in Calvin. And what is currently used is that they map little Planck's distance on the surface event horizon of the black hole and then count them and make this calculation and get the entropy of a black hole. I started to think this way. I started to apply that. So I said, okay, it's holographic. Let's look at relationship. I took the Planck's distance. I knew it was a surface. I made it a surface, and I plastered it over the surface of the event horizon of the black hole proton. But when I plastered it, I took the surface area of the proton, right? And I divided it by the number, by the area of the Planck's distance little circle. So it has to be space filling. That means the circles cannot be one beside each other like that, because if they were, there would be little spaces in between. It has to be space filling. You guys follow me? So when I said, well, how could it be space filling? Well, guess what I got? The flower of life symbol. And I thought, wow, you know, if it comes out, I'm gonna shit my pants. I almost did. Because what I did is I said, okay, how many of those is there? Those are all little Planck's oscillations, right? And there's 10 to the 40th of them. So there's a lot. And I said, okay, out of those, remember in the middle is all the little Planck spheres, right? See, these are little Planck spheres in the middle in 3D that are projecting onto the surface. That is the holographic principle. You guys saw that? Do it again. Okay. That's actually the beginning of the movie Black Hole that Guyam just released about the research I'm doing. So let me try to... Oh, I missed it. Let me do it again. Just so it's clear. So inside the volume of the little proton, right, is all the Planck spheres, right? That's how I got the 10 to the 55th, right? So this are all the little Planck spheres. Here you see tetrahedrons because... they tiled, if they produce the flower of life structure, they tiled just like tetrahedron structures. And that's where the work I'm doing links with the work that Richard Hoagland is doing and others in hyperdimensional physics. Because that is the structure of the vacuum, right? And so I said, okay, these spheres are projecting the information of the whole universe onto the surface. So it's a projection onto the surface, which is the holographic principle. And we're going to see why the surface has less than the interior in a minute. But you see here, it's projecting onto the surface. That's what I was trying to show here. Okay? And it's a curved surface. It's the surface of the event horizon. So when I did that, then I... ooh, it's low for most people. I'm going to write here. So what I did is I took the number of little circles on the surface, right? All the circles on the surface. That's 10 to the 40th. Can everybody see this? 10 to the 40th. And then the number inside is 10 to the 55th, right? It's the mass of the universe. Divide the number of little Planck surfaces by the mass of the universe, okay? And what I got was exactly, what I got was exactly R sub s, the Schwarzschild mass. 10 to the 14. 10 to the 14, which is the Schwarzschild equation. I have the Schwarzschild equation here. Gravity outputted completely geometrically. No curvature of space-time. You know, no geodesics. Just pixelation of the structure of the vacuum itself. This is quantum gravity that I've been looking for all these years. And the solution is exact, okay? Exact only if the tessellation is space filling, the flower of life. Under the paw of the food dogs is a sphere with the flower of life tessellated over the surface. The garden of the knowledge. Then I said, okay, if this is really cool, if this is true, I should be able to continue to do relationship in there and get all sorts of information about our universe. So I took the number of Planck's surfaces, 10 to the 40th, but this time I divided it by 10 to the minus 39, which is the volume, proton volume, the volume of the proton itself, instead of the number of Planck's in there. And the result was 10 to the 79. And when 10 to the 79 came out, I recognized it right away. I said, oh, this is really close to the estimated amount of particles in the universe. Right? We know there's approximately between 10 to the 78 to 10 to the 80th or 10 to the 81 amount of particles in the universe. And so, if this is true, this would be the first time we have an exact number for the actual amount of particles, right? Well, you can think of like protons, right? Most of the universe is hydrogen atom with one proton. So in general, just protons are counted in our universe. So just you could think of the amount of atoms in the universe if you'd like. So I thought, well, this would be cool if this is exact. So then I did something a little weird. But, you know, I have those moments. I did something a little weird that I'm going to show you. I rectified right after, but it gave me the right answer anyway. But I said, okay, each one of these little circle is like a little micro wormhole connecting all the protons, all the Planck's length in the universe with all the other protons. The reason why I thought that way is because that discrepancy between the standard mass and the Schwarzschild mass, I kept on seeing in my head and in my work, in my philosophy, that it's because you can't just look at the mass of one proton, because it's influenced by all the other protons in the universe, right? Remember, it's not isolated. So if it's linked, okay, I said, okay, then I got to divide the Schwarzschild condition by all the other protons to see what would be the influence of a proton on one little Planck's distance. So that's what I did. I divided the number of Planck's distances, right, by the number, I divided the mass, the Schwarzschild mass, by the number of protons in the universe I was getting. And that gave me the standard mass of the proton, meaning when I divided the two, it gave me 10 to the minus 69, which would be the 10 to the minus 65. So that would be the influence of one universal proton, another proton, on one little Planck distance. You all following me? Connected through that one wormhole, right? So that every internal structure of every proton in the universe is all one thing connected through these wormholes, right? So I was looking for the influence of one point of contact, one wormhole. And that gave me 10 to the minus 65. And then I said, okay, let's multiply all those together, all the little wormholes together, the influence of all the other protons, because we're looking at the proton from the outside. And the result is when I multiplied the two, I got the exact mass of the proton, the standard mass of the proton, 10 to the minus 24. I was blown away. I was blown away because it was extremely exact. I mean, it's 0.019% exact, which is inside the measurement error in laboratory. So this is actually most likely the exact mass of the universe, of the proton. But think about it. I could have skipped that step since I know the amount of protons in the universe. Assuming that this 10 to the 79 is correct, I should be able to just divide it by the mass of the universe. That would tell me how much each proton weighs, right? And when I did, it came out exactly right. This is the mass of the universe extrapolated from the inside of the proton and divided by the number of protons in the universe extrapolated by the surface, and I got exactly the mass of the proton, which was like incredible, because you gotta see what I saw there. You've got a huge number, 10 to the 80th, right? 10 to the 79. And you're dividing by another huge number, the mass of the universe, and you're nailing 10 to the minus 24 grams, teeny weeny proton, exactly right. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. One too many proton in there, and this is off. A little too much mass in the universe, and that number is off. But it gets it right on the button. So this cannot be, you know, random. And now, and I've solved this, and this is actually in a second paper I'm about to publish. I've solved this in a much more classical way now. I've got this equation that's like M equals MC squared type that everybody going to be able to solve with a calculator, any students in high school. Anyway, it's super simple. It's a clear relationship, and that's going to come out soon. Thank you. Thank you. But even more important is that this ancient symbol that's found all around the world, that was so important to so many ancient civilizations that they made sure that it would survive all spans of time to reach us today, seems to be the exact solution to the holographic universe, giving us the exact correct answers. And that is remarkable. As well, that leads to a deeper understanding on how we would build technology to reproduce those dynamics in laboratory so that we can access this energy. Now we understand quantum gravity. We understand that gravity is basically just a ratio of information to surface area. And that actually this surface area interaction, you see, this 10 to the 40th little Planck's termination of wormholes on the surface, but there's 10 to the 80th particles. So how is it that one is connected to 10 to the 80th if it's only got 10 to the 40th possible connection? Well, that's because when you, it's not only holographic, but it's fractal in nature. That is, one little proton is connected to 10 to the 40th particles, and these 10 to the 40th particles are connected to 10 to the 40th particles, and so on. So that you have this fractal progression, you know, that you can identify, and this is actually why I called my theory 25 years ago the holofractal graphic theory. It's because it's holographic and fractal in nature. And I knew it was in there somewhere, but I finally mathematically solved it. The other thing that's really exciting about this is that this is the yardstick. We can apply that to infinitely big. You know how the Freemason have that that compass symbol as the symbol of the yardstick of the universe, the geometry of the universe, God's, you know, scale? Well, this is what we've got, meaning that I can now tell you from studying the proton, this little teeny bitty thing, the mass of the universe, the cosmological constant, the energy of our universe, the size of it, right? The gravitational field, but not only that, I can tell you how many of our universes there is in a larger one. And what is their energy level? And what's the energy level of that larger universe? And what's its scale? And all sorts of information. And then I can tell you how many of those larger universes there is in the larger one. And again, and again. So now we have the fractal yardstick and the network connection so that we can actually navigate our universe and the multiverse we live in. We're on our way. We're on our way, folks. This is leading to very advanced technology. I can't believe how long it takes. You know, they drop you off on this faraway planet, in this faraway galaxy, and then they tell you, well, you got to make it home, you know, with local available material. You know, this leads us to technological development, and we need your support for this because we need laboratory, we need funding to get it done, and that's on its way. But please support us. Please become members of the Resonance Project Foundation so this can continue. But thank you. As well, you can get a 4-DVD set right behind us. That really helps us. This pays the bill and the light and the black hole DVD as well. That's out. But in any case, you can see that now knowing this, you would want to create an environment and laboratory where the oscillations of the vacuum inside the bubble would be in correct relationship to the vacuum oscillation outside the bubble. And when you got the right ratios, and when you got the right spin rates, because these little surfaces, they're little vortices, right? When you get, like, Coriolis's vortices, when you got the right relationship with the right spin rate, you should get singularity. You should get, you know, gravity in a box. Right? So early on, in early laboratory tests, I built technologies to reproduce these dynamics. And to reproduce the dynamics of a black hole in a laboratory, you can imagine that you would need plasma spinning at high velocity and all this. But when you got it done, it would be extremely stable. And you could alter the spin rate to create various effects. And these are some of the experiments we're in process of doing. This was my talk for today. And I wanted to just say, although all this seems very technical and it seems very, you know, mechanical, maybe. It has so much deeper meaning and deeper implication for understanding of ourselves, the universe, and the dynamics that connects us all. you can actually go. I mean, when I solved these equations a few months ago, I've been meditating since I'm 11. I've been thinking about this stuff all my life. I got a deeper, new level of the interconnectivity of all the atoms of my body. They all, like, had these moments where I felt like the wormhole linking to the whole thing. It's like, oh, my God. And this is available to you, this sense of connectivity, this experience of connectivity through the structure of the vacuum. Never forget that you are 99.99999% energy of the vacuum, and that that is actually informing you every second, and you have access to it. This is why all the masters have asked everyone to spend the time every day, even if it's a few minutes, to turn your senses inward and go to that point. Go to that point of singularity. And connect with the whole. Connect with the holographic nature of all the universe. And be the infinite being that you are. So until next time, may the vacuum be with you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
So we're over time, but I said we'd stay and finish this. It's 10:10 here. Interesting number. So Rama's not going to bring mothers through. We're just going to see her tomorrow. Yet I got a gift on Tuesday on the full moon. We did together. We don't know who gave it to us or who sent it. They did an anonymous thing. And I've been talking about this book for over the years. It's called Unicorns I Have Known by Robert Vavra. And in the beginning of the book, he was talking about the connectedness. We're all one, the flower of life, all of this magnified. And so, you know, the unicorn is the symbol of that oneness. And at the beginning of this book, there's somebody wrote something here. They actually, they've got photos of real unicorns. He went on a very long 1 year vision quest for one solid year, and he traveled all over the world. And this is by Lee Carroll from Through the Looking Glass, and it says, Alice could not help her lips curling as she began. Do you know, I always thought unicorns were fabulous monsters too. I never saw one alive before. And the answer comes, well, now we have seen each other, said the unicorn. As you'll believe in me, I will believe in you. Is that a bargain? That's where they leave it. And let's leave that today for our concentration and contemplation, because things are not as they seem. And remember, love prevails over everything. This changes everything right here, right now. So good night, good night, good night. Namaste. And we'll see you in your dreams on the bridge. In Lakesh, we are all another ourselves. And Sat Nam and Rama.
Sat Nam Ji.
Aho Mitakuyasan. And let's have that music, maestro.